Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome all those who are out here tonight and out there on Facebook land and out there in the parking lot. And we're going to continue on with our theme of love this morning. So we're going to sing number 546, Love Lifted Me. See you tonight. So glad you could come out. And I told somebody it's Super Bowl Sunday, so I got a short one tonight. Somebody asked me if I'd lost the notes, a page of my notes this morning. That's just one in a hundred, all right? That's one in a hundred. I got out of here and I pulled out the parking lot at 12:05. I was like, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. But it's good to see y'all tonight. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Huh? Heck no. I got to live it better. I can talk about it. I got to live it. But I tell you what, it's never, that's probably the shortest sermon I guess I preach here. Got more response to it, though, than it's never boring. It didn't? Well, I don't know. But I like the idea of whoever brought it the week before and was cooking it over there.
Really and truly, it's a wonder I didn't get in one of them suits the other day. I did have to go get me a juice box. A juice box to check it out. Tonight we're going to be back into 2 Peter chapter 1. This is kind of our jump off as we're doing our what we believe or our statement of faith. I do have for tonight what we're going to be covering. We'll be looking at salvation, regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. And we could throw in justification and all that other stuff, but we're just going to focus on those four topics basically tonight. If you want one, it's up here. Also, we've got backups from the studies before, but if you want a copy of the Baptist Faith and Message, a pocket guide. Now, I got the big ones down in the office, and they some big studies that you can do there, but be praying for it, and also do be praying for those, and we're going to do our prayer list, you know, first, but got more news on people having COVID today, some of Sister Julie's relatives, and it's just all over. I don't know if y'all know Jim Davis, Davis Brothers Nursery, and he passed away. They took him off the vent this morning. Went on it Friday and took it off, and then we had about a 40-year-old friend down in Georgia. She passed away, and you know, it doesn't seem to be as fatal, this one, but some people, it's just God, our days are numbered in the book, and the Lord knows that, and we just trust Him. We do want to continue to be praying for all those. I mean, like we can't forget the Ward family. With Sister Catherine going on, Brother David going on, Sister Nancy and the family there, Brother Ed Holden, Sister Jairus passing away, and then this week within our own group, Brother Don and Jeff Daniels going on into eternity. Don't forget our marriage weekend. We're not going to have many from the outside, maybe 4 to 6 couples that aren't a part of Thomas Village, but the Lord's really piling them up back there. We've got about 20 couples from within the church now. And you don't have to be married or anything. You ain't even got to be planning on being married. Because the thing is about marriage, this is that relationship is what the Lord uses, Christ being the bridegroom, the church being the bride, and so when we understand His value of marriage, then the relationship, just like the video Brother Paul showed of the Galilean wedding, the devil does not want us to comprehend that because there is so much awesome truth in that. But also, we see how serious Christ is about marriage. Marriage, outside of a relationship with God, the marriage relationship is the most important, sanctified, and as it says in Hebrews, I believe chapter 13, it is to be respected and honored by all. And we live in a culture today that does not respect marriage. Well, it doesn't respect the Judeo-Christian definition of marriage. We're living in a time where our government is trying to legislate what is moral and what is not. And it's getting to where people believe that our rights come from the government. Our rights come from our Creator. That's what our founding fathers told us. And one thing about my son, it was neat. He's beginning to understand that if you look at the Constitution and all that from a different angle other than through the truth of Scripture, then it can be played with and moved around and all that. But when you look at it through the reality and truth of Scripture, then it's one of those standards that you can stand on, you know. But we do want to continue to pray for Amy. Well, Sister Yvonne, I heard she did get good news this week. So I've been texting with her, let her know we're praying. I try to make contact with her once a week. And then Sister Rowena, she's doing well. Continue to pray for her mending. My wife will be having surgery sometimes Tuesday, so pray for that. Ricky Sheffield, that's a friend of ours in Georgia that's having the issue with the kidney transplant. Brittany Grindstaff, Cody Carlton, Shalene Harris, Hazel Dingus, Jimmy Taylor, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, Kim and Dale Owens, Daniel Green, Candy Worth, Deborah Taylor, Jewel Williams, Sherry and Danny Roten. Also, Sister Donna was exposed this week, too, so just be praying for her. She's keeping her distance. David Starnes, Nicholas Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Liza Fletcher, Ruth Roten, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Jerry Flannery, Rhonda Bryce, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Darlene Porter, Carol Dishner, Haley Webb, David and Felicia Cantrell. Also, I just reminded of it's been 3 years since Brother Phillips went home to be with the Lord, and just want to continue to pray. You know, we the distance sometimes we can forget, but it's all too real for those that's lost a loved one. And Robbie Jordan, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David Dakota McQueen, Nick Roten, Daisy Richards, Bradley Bowen, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ezekiel Jordan, Vicki Littrell, Carol Carter, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Laura Evans and family, JT and Gladys Jones, Shannon Haynes, C. Edmund, Charlene Lofton, Denny Lemon, Cindy Osborne, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Roger and Virginia Edens, Bridget Barnes, Susie Hill, Teresa Holden, Betty McCorkle, Helen Garrett, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Sister Moselle, good to see her this morning, Christopher, a little 10-year-old boy having some issues, Pam Savarsky, Jesse Bull, Margaret Williams, CC Family, Larry Bledsoe, Ashley Clark, Debbie Starnes, Tyler Beeler, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Braden, a young boy that's from Georgia dealing with cancer, think he has cancer, and when I say young, below the age of 10. And Chuck Kearney, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Mike Brown, Larry Tomlinson, Rhonda Doran, Mickey Gillum, Dr. Awan, Miranda Chadwell, Sherry Dean Cooper, Kathy Baldwin, Aiden Jurgen, Betty Carter, Lisa Estep, Ivan Scott and family, the Stenicky family, Charlie Taylor, Karen McDonald, Michael Starnes, Susan Lassiter, Wilma Williams, the Gillette family, Mary Jane Carter, Melanie Lester and family. I talked with Sister Ernestine today and then talked with Brother Josh on Friday, but they think they've got COVID back in the house, one of the children. So he had to go pick them up from school Friday, and they're waiting on the test, so don't know there, but pray for them. Tommy Mullins, Sister Jeanette, Ashlyn, another young one with leukemia, Sister Phyllis, John Bryce, J.D. Nielsen, and then let's pray for marriages. Let's pray for those that are dealing with emotional issues, depression, all that. It's good to see the blue sky, though, isn't it, and have some of that sunlight. It's a blessing. Are there any other needs that we have tonight? But it. Okie dokie. Thank y'all for letting me know. Anyone else? Oh, Lord, today. Anyone else? Thank you, Brother Johnny. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Otis, if he would. It's good to have him, Sister Lynn, back with us. And I'm going to ask if he would to come and lead us in prayer over our prayer needs tonight. And again, we'll be in Luke, 2 Peter chapter 1.
Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for bringing us back as a church body, as loving each other. And Lord, we just pray for our church in these times that are trials. We know some that aren't able to even meet in fellowship, and we pray for them in their neighboring churches, their pastors. And Lord, we just pray for our church and our pastor and the deacons, that we would know what to do, not on our own, but seeking your grace and your face. And Lord, just to keep leading the church in the right direction. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions this evening. There's many not here this evening. We realize that some have issues with their health, and some can't even drive now of a night. And we too could be there, Lord, without your grace and your mercies. It could be us and not someone else. And Father, we just thank you for hearing our prayers, and we have many concerns on our prayer list, sickness, death, and issues in families, and separation in families. And Lord, that's not what you taught us in the marriage, the supper in the marriage that you gave us, the institution of marriage, Lord. And we know we've taken many directions, but we've taken many directions away from you as well. We pray, Lord, for the needs of our church, the church body itself. Lord, we pray for those around us that know you not as Savior. So many lost that I was sitting the other day looking into the valley and thinking of many souls down there that I know that are unsaved. But, you know, might not even be saved if I don't go and witness to them or tell them or give them a phone call. And, Lord, we just have many in our church that aren't being able to be back. And we just pray that our church body would call them. If you see someone not here, call them and ask them if they're okay, if they need help. God, that's what you tell us to do. We want to look like you. We talked about that in children's church this morning. What do we look like when we look in a mirror? Do we see someone good, someone pleasant? Do we see ourselves as we know ourselves, or are we somebody that we pretend to be? And Lord, we want to look like you, and that's hard to do, but we want to look that way, we want to act that way and talk that way. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us tonight in fellowship as we study your word. We ask you to be with the marriage conference this weekend coming, and we just ask you to be with Holly and Matt as they come to present and lift up you in marriage. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and loving us another day. We pray for those, again, that can't be here tonight. And we just pray for those, Lord, that don't want to be here tonight. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers and loving us and giving us another day. And we walk by faith. We know that. That's what one of the songs says, living by faith. And I read a commentary the other day, and it said the only currency, if God has a currency, the only currency he has in heaven is the currency of faith, having faith. So, Lord, just let us not lose faith. Let us not give up. Let us keep on stepping up, and let us keep on doing your will and your work. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am looking forward to our marriage celebration with Brother Matt and Sister Holly. I've been in contact with them. And the only thing about Brother Matt is if you stand too close to him, you have to crank your neck up so doggone. He's so tall that you got to get back to where you can take it all in. But I'm looking forward. They had a wonderful time last night at theirs at Wallace Memorial there. And so do be praying for that. Okay, tonight we're moving on through our study of what we believe. And again, you know, this is not, I mean, when you join our church, you don't have to walk by these lines. I mean, we know that there's going to be some differences in beliefs. You know, this is the way we are. But this is what guides us in our ministry. Basically what we do here at Thomas Village. And we start out over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and through 21, because the authority of God's word is what we stand upon. And there it says, for we, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.
We ourselves heard the voice when it came from the heaven while we were with him on the holy mount. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Now notice what Peter is saying. He's saying, yes, I witnessed this with my own eyes. I saw the fulfillment of Messiah in Jesus Christ. But not only that, we have the confirmation of the prophecies. You know, he's saying the Old Testament writings, we have seen that fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And then we also know that the it was prophesied by Christ upon the coming of the Holy Spirit that he would show the apostles more that Jesus wanted to teach them, but it was not yet time. So there we also have the fulfillment of prophecy as he is giving us the all that we need according to Scripture. Verse 20, above all you know this, no prophecy of Scripture, I lost it, my phone vibrated. We have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation. You know, if you're the only one that views a certain Scripture a certain way, you might want to check in. You know what I mean? Not saying you're wrong. Not saying you're wrong, but just, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Verse 21, because no prophet ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so as we set out on our third study in the what we believe, again, we're standing on the authority of God's word. I choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They reported supernatural events, just like Peter over here did. He said he sees the fulfillment, the prophetic confirmation that took place as specific fulfillments of specific prophecies, and claimed that their writings are divine in origin rather than human. And so then we looked at God, and we broke it down into the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in three persons, one essence, three persons. Take one away like the corner of a triangle, and you do not have the God of the Bible. And so then we looked at humanity on Wednesday night. And I want to read these again. We won't go through the Scriptures, but I just want to read them. It says, we, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe that human beings as a species are unique and special creation of God. Man was created in his image and his representation within creation. God intentionally gave humans to be like him. He made Adam into a living soul with his breath. Adam and Eve were originally created in innocence and without sin, in a perfect and whole relationship with God. However, after some time, Adam and Eve fell to the tempting of Satan. This resulted in their loss of innocence, fall from grace and relationship with God, spiritual death and physical death, along with the curse on all creation. Now, and remember, how did he begin? When Satan began to use the attack that was going to work, you know, remember what he asked Eve? She was looking at the tree, and she was liking what she saw in the tree. And remember, he came and he said, but did God really say? It goes back to the questioning of God's word. That's where we get in trouble, when we don't have confidence in the truth of God. And so we go on there, that Adam's fall also resulted in us, his descendants, the human race, being inherited the sin nature along with the curse. Each human is accountable for their actions, the breaking of God's law, and the rebellion as his creation. Each are condemned. Only the grace of God in Christ Jesus can unite the individual in a proper relationship with God the Creator, providing eternal salvation for all who believe. Now, it's awesome to know that we're created in the image of God. And as we talked about this morning, every human being has been made in the image of God and breathed an eternal soul inside of them. And so that's another reason why every human being is worth being loved. You know, that they are made in the image of God. He has placed characteristics of himself in each and every human being, and to treat them or to view them as less than God's image, being made in God's image, then we lessen and devalue who God is. And so is there any thoughts on the humanity? One, made in God's image. Two, we have been the breath of God breathed in us, but also we are fallen. Just like Adam and Eve fell, we too, we like to sin. We like putting self first. We like making sure self is took care of, and we're going to fight with that until the day we die. Even as Christians, we'll fight that battle because we've got this hanging on us. And two, think about this, our emotions, our reasoning, all of that is under the curse as well. That's why we're told in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let your minds be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then we talked about the idea of gender, male and female, because we're living in a time where they're trying to tell us that there's more than the binary, than the two. That, I mean, they've got it to a point now where there's like 300 and 400s of what. I've got a list of it, and it's from 2 years ago, but it'll blow your mind. I've got a list of all the different sexualities you can name, and some of them's like magician astro being. I mean, this is the type of stuff that they've got there. It's crazy. It's crazy. I read this stuff. I don't bring it to y'all very much because it's just nonsense, but we're living in a world where nonsense is seen as smart, you know. But as God assigns gender at birth, it is another way by which he reveals more of his own nature in the distinct roles. Remember, when he created Adam, he took from Adam and created Eve. And so we see the softer in the female, and we see the more rough in the male. But each one of those, God is displaying who he is, not only by the role that he's given us, but the responsibilities we have as male or either female. It is not for a human to define or redefine what God has blessed each human with at conception. And see, that's what we're having right now. See, culture has done what? They've redefined creation, okay? Instead of it being what God says it is, we've redefined it as evolution, okay? So that we've already devalued life because that's just by happenstance that we are at the top of the food chart, right? And then what's happened? Now we're redefining the home. I mean, whatever you want to call it. It could be you and your parakeet. But that's the society we're getting into now. And so all of that, we're substituting man's wisdom and incorrect knowledge. And we've got to a point to where even good, godly people that want to be don't recognize that we have God-given rights and God-given roles, and that the government is seeming to trump anything that doesn't fall in line, that's in line with Scripture. And so our gender, male and female, are a declaration of our Creator's love for us, along with his clear roles and responsibility as male and female. And then we looked at the idea of life, all this falling under the humanity, you know. And then we at Thomas Village Baptist Church believe that each and every human life is a gift breathed by God himself. Seeing this is true, then every life should be valued from the time of conception to the point of natural death for those physically weak and mentally handicapped. It is our duty to defend and protect life in every stage. And you know, as long as someone's alive, there's still the hope of an eternal salvation. So that's why life is precious as well, because once you pass, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. But with the new technologies we have, and then with the dignity in death people, you know, those that are doctor-assisted suicide and stuff like that. I mean, we're getting in some crazy times. But any thought on that, the humanity, the role of gender, or the value of life? Any thoughts on that? Isn't it sad, though, that we have to make sure we define these things? All right, salvation. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe that it is not God's will that any human being should die and go to hell. This being true, salvation, and we're going to look at redemption, we'll define redemption after we get through with this, is the work of God by which any man, woman, boy, or girl is totally and eternally delivered from the curse of sin and the penalty of sin. Salvation is a total work of God. No one can be saved without being called to salvation by God. By the Holy Spirit, in unity with the Scriptures, God brings conviction or utter guilt for the individual's sin and rebellion toward God in the light of His holiness, righteousness, and goodness. You know, true conviction cannot come without the work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever sat in a sermon and you knew what was being said was the truth, but you just did not feel that pull? You did not feel that conviction. You did not feel that. You see, some people think that you can just walk in there anytime, and there's certain denominations that believe every time the Scripture is read, that's the Holy Spirit calling. Now, I know the reading of the Word of God will not go void, but there are seasons in life that God deals with you and the Holy Spirit is working in your life. It says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man, and so you have to have the Holy Spirit calling with the conviction of the Word of God, which brings us that we are total sinners. You know, before you can get saved, you have to recognize that you are a sinner. And so, we're dead. You know what? It's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit that He enlightens us to the point that we can understand it. Because the Bible says no man seeks after God. We're all just, our mouths are like poisonous vipers. And it says also, no man fears God. I think that's, and then the Old Testament would say, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And that's what we're living in right now. No man fears God, and everybody does what they want to do. Just don't get over on my, don't step on my yard. I won't step on your yard. You know, none of your business type stuff. But it goes on to say that this loving call demands a response to our Creator. No response is a rejection of His call. For those that surrender to the call of salvation through Jesus Christ and His substitutionary, I don't know if that was spelled right because spell check did not help me out a bit on substitutionary. Substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection in faith. God gives the gift of forgiveness, a restored relationship with Him, and eternal life with Him in His kingdom. Those that are saved or the redeemed are kept eternally secure by the work of Jesus. The first way it is by the Holy Spirit. It moves in, and it's the deposit, is what Scripture says. It's kind of basically our what we can hold on to until He comes back and claims us as His own. But then, later on, we'll be secured through eternity by the blood of Jesus and by the work of His resurrection. His blood covers the whole or the entirety of the individual's sin, meaning that past sin, present sin, and future sin, the blood covers it all. It covers my life of sin. Because remember, that life is now in His tomb. Amen? The sinfulness and all that, He left that in His tomb. This is not a license to sin, but is a testimony to the grace of God and His eternal power over the flaws of humanity. And again, I want to say this. To be honest with you, this is kindly vague. I mean, if you read some of the books that I read behind, and think, I mean, and even if you get the Baptist Faith and Message, the hardback, they're going to spend a lot of time on this. The reason is that people try to define how the Lord does something. And He's given us enough wisdom in His Scripture that it is our privilege to try and put it in a systematic way of thinking. But I'm going to tell you this, I still don't understand how God does it. I have no idea how it happens.
But I know what the Word of God says. And I still, you know, if it says confess with your mouth, then I believe you need to verbally put that thing out there. Am I saying that God won't save in a whisper or something? I don't know. But I know what Scripture says. So if I have an opportunity with someone, I've met with people in the hospital, and I've asked them to pray a prayer with me, and they couldn't respond verbally. And so I would ask them to squeeze my hand. Squeeze my hand if you've prayed this prayer, if you've asked Jesus. And but God does that work. It's not for me to define. And so as I see this, one, whatever way he does it, I'm thankful he does it. And I'm thankful he did it in my life. Number two, I will always err to the side of grace and mercy. That is just, he's given me so much grace, he's given me so much mercy that I'm going to do it. I mean, I know people that's walked the aisle 7 and 8 times, been baptized so many times, but you know what? If they come to me and say, I think I need to do it one more time, I'm going to say, well, let's do it one more time. I mean, let's get you to a point where you got some faith and that you're able to live. But notice God's desire for humanity. This is what we claim over our prayer when we pray for the lost. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we should count him delaying his return as mercy, because he's doing that so that more might be saved. But then we see God's call. And remember, none of salvation is by our own power. Amen? John 6:65. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. I'll be honest with you. When I got saved, or the weeks before I got saved, I thought I'd passed the point. You know, I couldn't be saved no more. God wasn't going to deal with me no more. But praise God, it's on his time. He does it his way. Man's response, Acts 7:51. This is when Stephen was preaching to the Jewish leaders right before he was stoned. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. As your ancestors did, so do you. And that's going to be the response most of the time. I mean, remember, he says that there's a narrow gate and a narrow road, and there's a wide gate and a wide road. So wide, you don't even have to choose to get on that road. You're born on that road. But most people, even though they hear the Word of God and they can hear the truth of God, most people will reject the call of salvation. It's just, that's sin. That's the curse of sin. And then the blood of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. I don't know how the blood works. Red blood applied to a black heart made white as snow. I don't know how that works, but praise God, I believe it works. And, you know, the one thing that I think we can all be sure about is that the Great Commission is not just simply to go. You know, we put it on, and it's good to go. We need to go. But what he said, the key part of that is, like we studied this week, is make disciples. That's what we're to do. And so what do? We tell people about Jesus. We try to get them in a Bible study with us. We try to lead them in the path. We don't save them. We just tell them about Jesus. And if we're doing that, then praise God. I can get along with a lot of people who's got some different views. If they believe in telling people about Jesus, I mean, that's what the goal is. What does it mean to be saved? Let's go back to that, the idea of salvation. Is there any questions on that? I mean, it's some deep stuff, I know. Again, I don't know how he does it, but I believe he does it. What does it mean to be saved? How many of you were raised up in a home where the word saved was just one of those, I knowed what it always meant? Yeah. Some people call it get religion. Right? I mean, that's what some people say. But, you know, we live in a time, and even in our area, these words like saved, redemption, regeneration, justification, all those, they mean nothing to people. They've not been raised up with it. And like we were talking about Wednesday night, the Wicca and all that becoming more and more prominent. I mean, as society grows, Did I ever tell y'all about the time that I thought somebody was trying to put a spell on me? Huh? I was in Georgia, and somebody called a church, and they would pick up the phone. I'd pick up the phone, and they wouldn't respond. And you know, the Bible says the Spirit will give you witnesses, or it'll bear witness with what is. And so I just quit. I quit answering it, really, if I didn't know the number or whatever. Come to find out, there was a couple witches lived within a mile of the church. And I can't swear that they were the ones doing it, but it was kind of funny that I felt demonic attacks. And we're not to play with dark stuff, and that's a realm that we have no business being in. The only spirit that we need in our life is the Holy Spirit. So the what does it mean to be redeemed? I put it here in the New Testament. The picture is that of a master buying a slave off the slave block. And the idea there is the purchasing, the payment that is made. Now in the Old Testament, the idea of redemption is when the Hebrews people were freed from the overbearing hand of Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. You see that they're released, they're let go, they're no longer under the bondage. Plus, you have the idea of paying the price. And so, spiritually, it's when one is bought back from slavery and the damnation of sin. We're under the curse of sin and the rebellion that we've had against God. But we are bought back by the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus. We are freed from our master, or as Jesus said, your father, the devil, and we are eternally kept. So when we talk about being regenerated, when we talk about redemption, when we talk about being saved, it is being taken from the camp of the enemy and released by the power of the King of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. He went, claimed us, and brought us back. He paid the price to free us. Now, the three aspects, and this is straight from the Baptist Faith and Message, these three, because I don't have the vocabulary these big. But the idea of regeneration is to produce something anew, especially, or to replace it. To be born again or to be saved is the fleshly man of sin and selfishness by faith is put to death on the cross of Jesus Christ. When the individual responds to the conviction brought by the Holy Spirit in accord with Scripture, in repentance and authentic faith, the individual surrenders to Christ, and instantly he or she is giving a new nature or a new life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus made it clear that there is a need for a second birth. There is a need for John 3:3, you remember this is when Nicodemus came to him by night, you remember? And he was like, Lord, what do I do? And he asked, well, do I have to be reborn by my mother? You know, and Jesus said, John 3:3, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, how many ways would the world tell you there is to get to heaven? Many roads. Many roads. I mean, we live in a time now where they try to equate God as being the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Muslims, the gods of the Buddhists. But as long as you're praying to God, it doesn't matter. But the Bible says there's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Then there's the law of salvation, Romans 8:2. Because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Remember, redemption, he goes, gets us, pays the price, and relieves the burden of sin off of us. We're no longer bound to that. And then the results, the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So, regeneration. Is there any questions on that? Again, how does God produce a new life in me? I know it's through the breath of the Holy Spirit. I know that. But, yeah, we're in some stuff out there that's above my pay grade. And I'll know it when I get to heaven. Any thoughts about regeneration? That's the new life. That's life where there was no life. Then there is sanctification. And now, Sanctification, there's the definition. I begin them with the definition. To set apart as for a sacred purpose or for religious use. Consecrated. To set free from sin or to purify. Now, sanctification happens when we get saved. It happens while we're being saved. And it will not be completed until after this life. It is a process. This is on the day that you and I got saved, the process of being set apart for the glory and the service of God when Christ Jesus saves the individual. So in that moment, we're removed out of that doomed for hell and we're placed into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ Jesus. We're set apart. He's already pulled us out and set us apart for His purpose. But also, we're to be used for His purpose. This is an ongoing process and the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen, He continually guides the believer into a deeper and closer relationship with God. Now, if we're following Him is the question, but the Holy Spirit, its goal is to draw us closer to Jesus on a daily basis and to let us be empowered to live that lifestyle. So the more we let go of this world, the more we begin to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and we're His vessel. And that's that purpose we talked about this morning, that God wants to love somebody through me. That's a part of what He's called me. That's why He set me apart, to use me for a specific purpose. And praise God, therein is our identity. The world tries to label us Republican, Democrat, left-wing, right-wing, conservative, liberal. But hey, we cannot let the world define us. It has to be Jesus and His purpose in our life. So we see that Jesus prays for our sanctification. Did you know that? Listen, this is over in the garden, John 17:17. They are not of this world as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. When we allow the Holy Spirit's power with the guidance of the Word, we live His truth. What's happening? We are set apart for His purpose, for His glory. Then we're to be separated from the world. I'll let you read that one. And then the call to sanctification, right there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, like we talked about. It begins here. I beseech you, or therefore, that's the King James. Let me read it out of this one. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So our bodies have been set apart for His, have been sanctified or set apart for His purpose, right? And to do that is a holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age. Everything around us tries to make us think like the world. I mean, when you're in an elevator, music all the time. Everywhere you go. It ain't quiet nowhere, is it? I've got a noise machine in my office just because I ain't used to quiet. And that's what we're listening to. How much is it edifying of the noise you hear throughout your day? How much of it is to build you up, to remind you of your purpose? No, it's all an attack on our mental. So we'll think with the flesh and not with the spirit. But do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God for your life, meaning your purpose, so we can see what the purpose is, and we'll live that purpose out. And then there's glorification. This is the action of making something more admirable, better, or more important, especially when it's not justified. You know what I mean? There's nothing about me that screams to admire. You know, the only reason it's there is because God is doing something in me. He's working in me. And when we get to heaven, the ultimate completion of our salvation, when Christ Jesus claims that which He has purchased, the believer, the born-again soul will receive a new body in the likeness of the resurrected body of Christ Jesus. Now, do we have a clue what our new bodies are going to look like? Because, in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ will all be made alive. Now, he's talking to the saved there. He's not teaching universal salvation. He's talking to the elect, those that have come by the blood of Jesus. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits afterwards, and his coming, those who belong to Christ. I mean, praise God, we're going to get a new body. And Jesus had a body that he could walk through walls with, right? What is our bodies going to be able to do when we're over there? I mean, that's going to be a big capital city. We may just want to evaporate here and show up somewhere else. I mean, I don't know, because we have no mentality or anything to compare what our new bodies are going to be like, how they're going to function. But the Bible says where these bodies are made for the earth, it's our vehicle here on this earth that, what does it say, terrestrial. Then our new bodies are going to be celestial, meaning of another realm, for use in another realm. And then there's the mystery. And tell you what, a lot of it's a mystery, to be honest with you. It's 1 Corinthians 15:50. Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I am telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will be changed. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. What a blessed hope that is. Amen. Amen. And I was talking with Sister Tammy today, you know, with every passing of a loved one, heaven becomes that much more inviting. You know what I mean? Every passing day, heaven gets a little bit more of my home, you know. All right, any thoughts tonight on any of this?
I have a thought.
Okay.
You were speaking in the beginning there about
baptism.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to baptize them for nobody else.
That's
100. Shoo-wee.
So, I guess she's
got into
forever.
That's what I was going to say. She's raising. She's California raising. No. No. Well, you know, there's others that they go through. I mean, they've got histories of names, and their goal is to pray them out of hell. They'd be baptized for them because they get them out of hell and translate them into heaven. I mean, there's no scripture. I mean, well, they have their own. Along with the King James Version, they've got their book as well, the another translation of the Word of Christ. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's indulgences. That's why we're Protestant. That's because we didn't agree with that. We didn't agree with purgatory. Well, when Martin Luther broke off from the Catholic Church, he really didn't want to break off from the Catholic Church. He wanted reform. He wanted the Catholic Church to say, and Martin Luther still held on to some of the Catholic doctrine. I promise you, we would not agree 100% with Martin Luther. But that is, he's the one that when he nailed the 99 theses to the door, that's where it all began, and a lot of it was to deal with the baptism of infants, the selling of indulgences. Because, you know, the Pope is the authority in Catholicism, not the Word. The one who sits on the seat of Peter. I know this is it, because, you know, Peter's a rock. He was the first in Catholicism. He was the first pope. And so, yes, Scripture is wonderful, but it takes a second seat to the authority of the popacy. I never thought I'd use that word in this pulpit. The papacy. Papacy. Yeah, the papacy. But praise God. Jesus. That's it. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's... If I ain't got nothing else, I got the book and the blood.
I got Jesus and the Word of God. And I tell you what, that's more than what most people have to stand on and to hold fast to. Any other thoughts? Thank you for that. You know, the Bible does in Hebrews talks about baptisms. But you got to remember who they're, that he's writing to a Jewish crowd. And so they had a lot of it from the Old Testament. You know how they'd wash, they'd dab the ear and the left toe and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they had a lot of, what would you call it, ceremonial law. All right, anything else? I've seen that. The largest gathering of Satan worshipers that they'd ever been, I think. You wonder why there's a heaviness. Jesus. Amen. It takes 3 months to get to us. It took COVID 3 months. Yeah. It did. Everybody else had to see it. We're like, is they sickness? Is something going on right here? And then 3 to 4 months later, yep, that's it. And my boy, he's like in a dress like late 80s, early 90s. And I thought, yep, give it a few months. He'll be back up in the 2000s. It'll catch on. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for my church family, my friends. And God, I just praise you that you love us in spite of myself. You saved me from myself. And so, God, I just pray that I'll learn how to surrender self to you. I'll learn how to walk in truth and love. And, God, that the love of Jesus will proceed through me and that I'll let people know that you love them. In his name I pray. Amen.
All right.